Hey, you want that to go?
We've got your news takeouts here, and here's one about, well, it combines business with privacy with your email. Louise Story, our finance reporter for our partner in the New York Times, is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our sports contributor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's go to you first, Louise, because last week we talked about Buzz. This is that new social networking capability, the service from Google, and it lets people share updates like they would on Twitter or Facebook. It's like Google dipping its toe into the social networking water. However, we talked about this last week. There were concerns over privacy because Google let people see all of your Buzz let people see your email contacts. So they're changing that.
That's right. On Saturday, the product manager for Buzz blogged on Google's site that they would retreat from the strategy. This is a rare thing for Google. They haven't had a privacy flare-up like this before. You might remember a couple years ago, Facebook had that privacy brouhaha over showing every one of your friends what you were purchasing on the internet. But this Google one speaks to how common it is for people to be using Gmail for their work stuff, you know, journalists using Gmail for work, lawyers using Gmail for work, doctors forwarding it all. And what that means is in your Gmail contact list, you know, over on the left side of the screen, anyone you've written even just one time, maybe on a very private or maybe irrelevant matter, is there and is in your contacts. And with this Buzz social networking site, Google was kind of revealing that to a broad swath of people, which really concerned people.
Well, that's a big problem. And the other part of this is that when you're using Buzz, you don't know who's following and reading your updates, because anybody who's ever emailed you or that you've ever emailed could follow what you were doing. It's not like Twitter.
Well, one thing I think is interesting is, you know, for a long time, people, privacy advocates have warned about the corporations following us, about Google or Microsoft, about them tracking us and how scary that is, kind of like a big brother. They have so much data on us. But what actually seems to make people upset is not that as much, but it's when these companies reveal stuff about you to people who know you. So the Facebook thing was about people were upset because their friends would see their purchases. This Buzz backlash is because people are upset that other people who they know will see who they know. And so I think some of the privacy backlash and warnings have been focused on the wrong thing. Focused on these big brother fears is when people, what they really worry about is privacy from people who know them.
Well, you're right. This is one of the first times Google's really had to respond to privacy concerns. Thanks. That's Louise Story.
It's hard to believe at this point that Google didn't know that would be a problem. Don't you think?
That's a little shocking.
Do no evil. Remember, they do no evil.
Do no evil. Well, thanks, Louise. We want to turn to sports now with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our sports contributor. While most of the sporting world has been focused on Vancouver and the 2010 Olympics, the NBA is in contract negotiations with its players, Ibrahim, and the NBA has made an opening offer to players on their new contract. How did the players react? How's the negotiation going?
Well, there's a couple of things that are very interesting here, is that the players are very united. During the All-Star break, a bunch of the players' union brought together LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony, two of the biggest players in the league, and they're basically calling. They're saying that the new proposal, which called for elimination of the guaranteed contracts, which is a huge one, no exception on the salary cap, and a 50-50 split of revenue, that the players are dead set against it.
The players are definitely not happy,
without a doubt. And at risk here is some of the. I think the guaranteed contracts and the salary cap are two of the biggest things that the players are focusing on.
The salary cap. Well, I read a headline yesterday that the NBA says they're $400 million in debt, which to me seemed unconscionable with all of the ticket sales and all the marketing going on at the NBA. What about that? Is this playing a card in a negotiation? What kind of debt are we talking about?
David
here?
Stern, the commissioner of the NBA, said specifically that because of the current labor contract, that they have been losing hundreds of millions of dollars every year. So he's pretty clear that this is something that they need to shift. There's also an issue with the
owners.
Sounds
like a bargaining gambit.
It is a bargaining gambit, right. And I think part of it is that the owners want to keep their reckless spending and the players want to keep their reckless earning, and that something has to break here. This specific number, we'll see how it projects on next year, but the NBA is an $8 billion business right now, and each team, you know, have an incredible amount of money.
Players, sorry, you just said $800 billion.
$8 billion. $1 billion.
Okay. Louise Story, finance reporter, almost had a heart attack over there. She wants to cover the NBA instead of Goldman Sachs. That's where the money is.
Well, the players make $5.5 million. That's the average salary.
That's the average.
So the 60%.
How do they live on that?
Exactly. Well, that's funny. 60% of the money for each team comes from they spend on players. So that's why the owners are focusing that they can cut in that arena.
Okay. So the end game here, quickly. The end game of a negotiation like this, when it's far apart, is a lockout or a strike. Is there any chance of that happening here?
That's definitely been mentioned by both sides as a possibility. Mm-hmm. Both sides say that they don't want it to get to that, but it's definitely a possibility.
Right,
it's on the table.
Still the posturing going on. We'll see how the end game turns out between the NBA and the players. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports Contributor. Thanks.
Good morning.
And for our last takeout, we hear about the Winter Olympics dreams of our listeners.
If I could be a competitor in the Winter Olympics, I would like to be in the skeleton team. Skeleton is similar to skateboard with ice blades on it.
That does not sound safe, Chris from Tulsa, Oklahoma. We've been asking you what event you wish you could compete in, even if it's something that you just make up.
Mark posts to our website, Australian rules curling. Thin ice over deep water.
Miami chick. Somebody calling themselves Miami chick writes, bringing home the golden Olympic après ski. I'm from Miami. That's how we roll. For the non-skiers, that's going out and drinking, dancing, partying pretty much after you ski.
All right, so we want people to get on the takeaway.org and give us your Olympic event dreams. You can be a little bit tongue-in-cheek. It's obviously we're enjoying this. Sally, at least, has a real good point in mind. She posts skijoring. With my dog, Zeb, we'll bring home the gold. Skijoring is a sport where a person...
Where your dog pulls you on your
skijoring,
sled.
Skijoring, that's what that is? Okay.
That's the ultimate in lazy. You can visit our site, too, to weigh in on all things Olympics at thetakeaway.org. Speaking of dogs, New York is hosting the Westminster Dog Show. We're hosting our own doggy competition. Our listeners have submitted tons of photos of their dogs. Now it's up to you to vote. Who should win Best in Show? Go vote at our website, thetakeaway.org. Click through all the photo submissions. Cast your vote. We're going to announce the winner tomorrow. Coming up, doctors faced incredible emotional odds as they struggled to help Haitians. We talk about what happens, how they felt when they got home in just a few minutes.